This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining me today. It is the 28th of February, the final day of the second month of the year. Can you cope? I am floored. It hit me this morning that we're 2 months into the new year already. And I started thinking back about some of the things that I wanted to achieve this year and some of the things that I've got planned. And I'm sort of broken out in cold sweats, to be honest. I'm nervous. Very, 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 very nervous. But one of the things that I set out to achieve this year, we are on track for, okay? So I wanted to hit 1 million downloads on the Kona Edge in 2018. I mentioned 2 days ago that things are just blimmin' overwhelming, to be honest. I've got so much going on and just trying to keep all the balls in the air and juggling. You know what it's like, life, family, work. It's just been really stressful work-wise. Obviously, this Kona Edge is a labor of love, not making an income off it from a significant income point of view. So this is over and above everything else I'm trying to do to provide for my family. And it creates its own sort of stresses in doing that. And I said 2018 is the year that I want to turn this thing into a business. And gee, we've oscillated between deciding to pull the plug on this thing and really going after it over the last 2 years. And I'm nervous at the moment because I'm not quite sure where my head's at. Obviously, I want to make this thing work, but we're getting to ground or critical points where some big decisions have to be made, I'm afraid. And as they say, if it doesn't pay rent, it's got to go. So, that's where we are at the moment. And if you've got any input or if there's any way that you think you could possibly help or if there's something you'd like to help with, I'd love to hear from you because, I tell you what, being inside my own head trying to figure this thing out has been hard work. Brad@thekonaedge.com is my email address. Today's podcast, enough about me yakking on about the stresses and strains of running a 5-day-a-week podcast. It was self-inflicted, I might add. We're going to be chatting to Alex Rossetti on today's podcast to share his story and just dig a little bit into a phenomenal athlete's backstory, which I'm quite excited to share with you. So that's all coming up on today's podcast. Getting to Kona requires a lot more than passion and hard work. This is where expert coaching plays a large part in filling in the gaps through better programming, education, effective communication, key analysis, and then adapting useful metrics to allow athletes to develop into the best they can be. Performance by 3 have helped countless athletes from all over the world achieve their endurance dreams at the Ironman World Championships by following tried and tested scientific methodology and implementing successful long-term training techniques, achieving a healthy, happy, and competitive athlete. Not ready for Kona just yet, but want to crush your next endurance race? Performance by 3 have a strictly limited group that they take on every year towards their key events through their Breakthrough Performance Program, providing the athlete with every facet they need to PR in their goal event. Initial consultations are obligation-free, so why not check them out to see if they're the right fit for you? Simply head over to pb3.com.au to find out more. That's pb3.com.au or simply visit thekonaedge.com/coaching for more details. You're listening to the Kona Edge, and we head to Los Angeles, California now to catch up with Alex Rossetti. Alex, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I normally ask people sort of where's home, but at the moment, home is a couch, a friend's couch in California. You've been traveling since Kona 2017. We were talking about it offline. For now, it's a couch in LA.
Yep, couch in LA, surfing around couches throughout the U.S., so if anyone out there has a nice couch that they're ready to loan out, just send me a message.
Well, I'll put it out there now. I've got a couch in Cape Town, South Africa. So if you're looking for a couch, we've got one. You're more than welcome to come and crash on ours.
Okay. 2019 coming right up.
Brilliant. Well, end of this year, there's the 70.3 World Championships. Just saying, September. You never.
Oh, that's right. I know. My mom was super bummed I turned that slot there.
Well, there you go. There's still time. You can still qualify, I'm sure. So, yeah, no pressure. Alex, let's talk a little bit about, before we talk about sort of what you've been up to, because I think it's awesome. Your journey into triathlon, where did it all start?
So I did a few when I was a kid. I've always been cycling. My dad was a cyclist. I feel like this is a very kind of common story. I did a little bit of cross country in middle school, nothing serious. And then as a kid in the summertime, both my parents work. So I would often go to Atlanta, Georgia, where my mom's youngest sister, is a school teacher. And I would do swim team with my cousins down there. Again, nothing like super serious or competitive, but just kind of all three, swim, bike, run, have always kind of been part of my childhood. So I did my first try when I was like around in high school. And then as I was leaving high school and transitioning into college, I was getting more into bike racing and swimming and running and stuff like that. And I said, okay, like I really want to start doing more tries. And
from an Ironman distance perspective, when did Ironman first sort of show up on the radar? Was that always something you wanted to do?
Well, it was always in the back of my mind. Like I'd seen it on CBS or NBC, whatever the heck that is. And then, yeah, as I was starting freshman year of college, I was like, I want to do an Ironman. So sophomore year of college, I made a deal with my mom that if for the whole year, if every class I got a B and above in every class, then I could sign up for an Ironman. So spring of 2014, I think that's right. Like I knew I was going to have a beer above in every class. And I was like, all right, mom, like let's sign up for an Ironman. So the only event that was still open was Ironman Louisville in August of that year.
Big jump from some of the shorter stuff you were doing. Was it did you realize how hard it was going to be? Was it a bit of a rude awakening?
Fall before I had run a marathon and I was like, whoa. But I did okay. I ran my first marathon in 3:17. Granted, I didn't feel good at the end of it, but I ran that. And I'd already done century bike rides before. So really it was just getting comfortable with that longer swim and just the longer everything. But I mean, it's hard for me to complain about my first Ironman because I came in second and qualified for Hawaii. So I really, the only bad race I've ever really had in terms of Ironman was this past year in Hawaii. So
yeah, and I mean having done sort of longer distances like that as well is one thing, but stringing it together on race day, that's the key to this thing, is not really, you're going so far into the unknown, you're not quite sure sort of what to expect. That first one, by the sounds of it, went pretty well.
Yeah, so I believe, don't quote me, 10:04 was the final time for my first one. Yeah, I was super happy. I wanted to be right around the 10-hour mark. And they've since moved that Louisville race to October because the year I ran, it was the last year they had it there, and they switched it, I'm pretty sure, for two reasons. One, the heat. It was hotter there than it was in Hawaii that year. The marathon was not healthy for a lot of people. And then, yeah, it's just super close to Kona. So after I finished that, I had 6 weeks to recover and build back up a little bit.
Is that too close in your mind? I mean, often we'll see people qualify really late. Do you think as an amateur, as an age grouper, that time frame is a bit too tight?
For me, at the time I was 19. No, it was fine. I mean, you recover so fast when you're young. But yeah, I mean, for amateurs, like for most of us who work and have full lives, I mean, it's nice to just do your race and then, well, I guess you could look at it two ways. You could do your race, then take a break, relax, recover, think about it, and then train back up for Hawaii. Like take all summer or whatever and kind of plan things out. Or you could look at it as you've just got 2.5 months where you're going to race, qualify, and then race again. That's kind of more of a crapshoot. But, yeah, I guess you could look at it either way.
Well, you obviously, I mean, that one, there was a, you like sort of squeezing things in, because Kona 2017, you were telling me before we started recording, was quite an interesting one, because you were working two jobs while training for Kona 2017. Tell me a little bit about that and the decision to do that and how you did it, the logistics of it.
Yeah. So senior year of college, after Hawaii the first time, I just kept doing Olympics and halves. And then I really was not interested in doing Kona again. Senior year of college, I kind of got the itch. I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure I can podium at Hawaii, or at least I thought I could. And I called up mom and I was like, hey, I think I want to do this. So we decided that I would move home for a year. Or a year and a half to just train, work, pay off student loans, just kind of get in really good racing shape, and then see if I could requalify for Hawaii. So during the week, Monday to Friday, I worked as an architect, or not as an architect. I worked for an architecture firm, just kind of doing drafting and a bunch of things that a normal intern type job would have at an architecture firm. And then on the weekend, I worked as a mechanic in a bike store near downtown Fairfield, Connecticut. So yeah, basically just wake up early, go to work, and then in the afternoon do another workout.
You just got to do what you need to do, I guess. It's one of those things. It's a necessity, and you just get sort of comfortable with being uncomfortable. Early wake up, it becomes a bit of a habit.
Yes, that's my motto. Get comfortable at being uncomfortable. You have no idea how many times I say that to myself. But yeah, I mean, it was just, you can't justify or make dreams comprehensible. Like, my social life absolutely tanked. But sometimes that's just, yeah, you got to figure out what your priorities are. So for me, I just really wanted to go back and see how well I could do. So, yeah.
It's interesting you said as well, it was a year and a half. And that's one thing I'm picking up as well. It's not an overnight thing. It's a long-term project. You do sometimes get somebody who sort of signs up for an Ironman within 12 months. They race their first one. They qualify. And it all sort of happens pretty quickly. But for the vast majority of age groupers, it's a work in progress. And it takes a couple of seasons to really become sort of the athlete that you can become.
Oh, huge. Absolutely huge. I mean, and granted, there's, you know, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, there's kind of two different types, right? There's completers and there's competers. If you want to be a competer, in general, no, you're not going to show up and have beginner's luck. That doesn't really exist all that much in Ironman. Like, if you show up and do well, it's because you're good. You don't get lucky for 9 hours or 10 hours, whatever it is.
In your mind, can a completer become a competer?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, why not?
Is it as simple as making the decision and committing to it?
Well, that's loaded. Yeah, I mean, mind over matter. I mean, if you really want to do well at the sport, and if you really wanted to start placing at different events, then yeah, I mean, you just, it's hard to, there's so many things, right? You got to have good people around you. You probably have to have a good coach. You got to have good food, good sleep, good job, low stress, or reduced stress, you know? But I'm a believer in myself, and if anyone out there decides, like, hey, I really want to step this up, then it's within your power. I mean, you have all the tools with you. Just it's, do you really want to commit that much to it? Because it's a huge commitment. And by the end of this past year, I was tired, very tired. And I kind of had a little bit of a breakdown in September. So, yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that. It's obviously, I'm guessing a lot of it had to do with the workload and just everything that had to be done. Tell me a little bit about the about that and sort of getting through it.
Sure. So Lake Placid was my qualifying race, probably the best race of my life. Just peak shape, super familiar with the course. I'd been up to Lake Placid. Lake Placid's about 5 hours drive from where I live. So 6 weeks before, I had gone up there for a 3-day weekend, and basically every day I did a half Ironman on the course. So fast forward to race day. After the first half of the marathon, so after 13.1 miles, I don't know, it was my dad or my uncle or something, they yelled, "You've got 25 minutes or whatever over second place." So I just put it in cruise control and just coasted. Kind of wish I hadn't. So I crossed the line, I think, in 9:34. I think I could have gotten under that sub 9:30 mark, but that's neither here nor there. So anyway, I felt super good after that. Took a week or so off and then started to get back into things. But, and I did, I think, another race, but it was just really hard getting back into it after Placid. Just mentally, physically, I felt great. Mentally, just kind of tired of burning out, basically, a little bit. So then I flew out to California where my coaches, and we had met in Guelph in college. But we made kind of our long distance relationship work, no sweat. So I flew back out there for basically a training week, with some of his athletes who are also going or went out to Kona. And, we just smashed it for 9 days. It was like, I don't know, maybe 300 miles on the bike and 80 miles of running and swimming was, I don't know, a ton. But so let's say I flew there the first Friday. We had a weekend, and then the second weekend was Half Ironman Santa Cruz. And we had talked about doing it and not doing it and talked about doing it. So anyway, it was like a week before, he said, "Hey, just sign up for it." And I was like, "Okay." And then he's like, "We may or may not do it." So I was under the impression for most of the training week that I wasn't going to do it just because we were getting smashed. And then 2 days before, he says, "All right, let's do it." So I show up. I'm like, "All right, like, no expectations. This is going to stink." Ended up winning by, I don't know, a decent margin. And I felt great, even though I'd just been smashed the whole week. So that was another confidence boost. I was like, "Okay, well, maybe we can get things going again." But after that, yeah, I was just tired. Like, you get tired of 5 a.m. every single day. You get tired of riding your bike alone every single day. And that's kind of one of my biggest regrets, was not finding more people to train with. And I would say, especially for amateurs out there, find people to train with, or people who can challenge you. There were some people in my area who I could kind of go out for a bike ride with or go out for a jog with, but not many people who could push me. Granted, I didn't look as hard as I wish I should have. But yeah, if you can just find someone to challenge you, maybe at least in just one discipline, maybe if you have a good friend who's a good swimmer, like, just swim with them, like, make an effort to do it, because if you can get in a good schedule with them, yeah. Like, if I could have had someone for the last 2 months who could have said, "Hey, come on, like, let's go," or just get you mentally through that tough spot, I think Hawaii would have been a different race for me.
Let's talk about picking yourself up from that. As you say, that was in September. A month later is Kona. 6 weeks later, I'm guessing around about the time. How do you, knowing that there's this thing looming on the horizon, how do you pick yourself up from a point like that where you're so down that you've had enough and you still know you've got to go and dance on that stage?
You got to dig down deep. That's it. For me, I remember the last time I was in Hawaii at the banquet, and there were a couple teammates of mine that my coach has, and they had gone up and they had gotten an award, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. Like, I want to do that. And so I would think about that often while training, like, hey, like, remember why you're doing this? Like, you want to get back up on that stage. And then also just a bunch of friends and family were coming out to Hawaii too. I was like, not that I wanted to let them down. That's not my main reason. My main reason was to win or podium. But yeah, man, you got to find your reason, find your why, and then just stick to it and get good people around you to support you, because it's tough.
So talk to me about race day 2017. Sort of, how did that play out for you?
Okay, I'll do the short version. Otherwise, it'll take all day. Short version, if you've never swam in Kona, just put yourself in a washing machine for an hour and then hop back out again on your bike. Start was fine-ish. I got kicked in the face pretty hard, so I knocked one of my goggles loose a little bit, but that's the swim there. I came out of the water in an hour plus change. I don't remember. A little slower than I had wanted to be, but that's whatever. Got on the bike, felt fine. Didn't have any issues with my stomach or anything like that. A lot of people swallow a little bit of salt water, or a lot of it of salt water. I did not. And then started the bike. Everything felt good. Started to put a few calories down. And then you do kind of this dorky little thing around town, go up and back and then up to the Queen K. Once I got up onto the Queen K, chain dropped, and I have a chain catcher on. So I was like, all right, hop off the bike, put it back on. That's 45 seconds at least, or a minute or so. Get going in the groove, going out towards Queen K. Powers in check, heart rate was a little high, but that's just because of the heat. I was like, all right, feeling good. And then going up to the turnaround point, when you're racing, you know, you start to pass the same people and they start to pass you just because you're all kind of going around the same speed. And some guys go faster uphill, some guys go faster downhill. Of the guys who I was kind of riding around, I would go faster uphill because I'm smaller and lighter than they are. And we were all kind of pacing ourselves around the 5 hour mark. So I got a drafting penalty going uphill to the Queen K or to Javi. That really pissed me off because I was there's five guys wide in front of you and you're trying to go around them. Either you go across the yellow line or you sit behind there for a minute. So anyway, drafting penalty, which ticked me off, but whatever. Got off my bike, started back up, got a flat tire going downhill, got off, fixed my flat, got back on again, and now I was just, the motions were running pretty high. So I rode back into town, dropped my chain again, got off, put my chain back on, and then I got off the bike right around the 5:15 mark, and I overcooked the bike at the end. I got a little too hyped up. So normally I'm pretty balanced in terms of bike strength and run strength. And normally kind of one of my trademarks is being able to get off the bike and nail my first split, whatever the heck I want it to be, either whether that's 6 minute pace, 7 minute pace, whatever. And I got off the bike and I could barely run an 8 minute mile. And I was just like, ugh. So for the marathon, it was just hold on, don't let go. and play the aid station game.
I love it. Well, you finished, and I think you ended up finishing 12th in your age group, which is nothing to scoff at as well. But it's been an interesting few months since Kona 2017, because you were telling me you've pretty much just taken off. And tell me a little bit about the time off. Before you tell me what you've been up to, have you been in the water? Have you done any sort of formal swimming? Have you been on a bike, and have you been running?
I have tried to, but no, not training.
Nothing
serious.
I've
done some exercise. Yeah, I've done exercise, which is, I think, what most civilian people are familiar with, but no training. Okay. Those are very different things, as you know. Yeah, so after Hawaii, like, I needed a break. And actually, my mom encouraged me to do this, which I'm grateful for. After Hawaii, I sent my tri-stuff home. And then I continued on traveling around through Southeast Asia. And so I went to New Zealand, Australia, Indonesia, Thailand, and Nepal.
Sounds horrible, Alex.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But yeah, no, I get plenty of jokes and prods, but I feel like I worked pretty hard for it.
No,
it's been a blast.
It sounds amazing, and also probably just a great way, especially with, as you say, the lead into Kona, that last little bit there was so hard, just to be able to get away from it, to get away from the sport, because so often we get consumed by it, and it's easy to have that sort of burnt-out feeling. I've had it, and I know a lot of other people have had it as well. And now, a few months post, are you contemplating, are you keen to get back into it again, or is it still too – are those wounds still too fresh?
No, I love triathlon. I will always do triathlon. But Ironman distance is that's off the list for now. Halves and Olympics, love them. Still planning on doing them. Definitely want to do more bike racing and mountain bike racing. I've always loved mountain biking, and going to New Zealand was phenomenal for mountain biking. So, yeah, not off the list, not done racing, just taking a break.
Well, I'm putting tons of pressure on you here, Alex. There's a little mountain bike race in my backyard called the Cape Epic,
which
funnily enough, the organization that owns Ironman has bought. So they're doing things. They've bought a couple of stage races in New Zealand. They've bought another one here in South Africa. They've got one in Switzerland, I believe, and I'm willing to bet my house on it. They are going to be doing exactly the same thing that they've done with Ironman and the World Championships in Kona. The mountain biking multi-day stage race World Championships in the years to come will be the Apsa Cape Epic. I'm pretty sure of that. So put that on your bucket list if you're big into mountain biking. And I think it's going to take a fair amount of years to get as big as Kona. So I think qualification might be a bit easier to start with. So here we go. There's a nice little mountain biking challenge for you, Alex.
Yeah, just keep that couch for me.
Exactly. Well, Alex, I look forward to talking about your individual disciplines, but we'll save that for the next time out. Thanks for joining me on the Kona Edge today.
Absolutely. Nice talking to you.
This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by the Wahoo Kicker. Whether you're looking for the accuracy and control of a direct drive bike trainer or the flexibility and convenience of a wheel-on solution, Kicker and Kicker Snap are two distinct indoor training solutions. Kicker Indoor Trainer's large flywheel uses new algorithms to improve responsiveness and better replicate the sensation of riding on the road. So whether free riding or using online platforms like Zwift and TrainerRoad, you'll have the same experience you feel on your favorite outdoor rides. To check out their phenomenal range, head over to thekonaedge.com/indoor. That's thekonaedge.com/indoor.
And that's it for this edition of the Kona Edge. Thanks so much for joining me. I keep mentioning about those iTunes reviews, and go on in
Again, I still can't see who it's from, unfortunately. The sort of app that I built to pull all the podcasts in no longer pull the names in, which I'm not a very... there we go. Finally got it. If I click on the link, it'll help. This one in from Retired Vet, saying, Brad has figured it out. Short interviews mixed with longer ones are nice and fit into my daily schedule easily. All listeners should become patrons, as I did. Keep up the great work. BBB. Well, Retired Vet, thank you so much for that iTunes review, but also for your kind words and becoming a patron. That's one of the ways that we are hoping to keep the lights on here at the Kona Edge. The last thing I want to do is pull the plug, but as I said at the start of the show, what doesn't pay rent's got to go. And to be honest, I've got to make some tough decisions over the next couple of weeks and months. And unfortunately, one of them does affect the Kona Edge. So if you wouldn't mind considering becoming a patron, if you love the show, help us keep it going. All you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/support if you'd like to be part of this drive to keep the Kona Edge going. Like I said, it takes a hell of a lot of work. And at the moment, it's over and above everything I've got to do with my wife, my three kids, work, and all of that sort of stuff. So it is becoming very, very taxing. I can't tell you that much. But until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.